This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Hey, Hot Breathiverse! Welcome back to the Hot Breath Podcast. This is the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and we have a very special Hot Breath episode today. One of you are actually the guests. So many of you hot brethren and sistren out there around the world have reached out to me asking about doing Skype sessions or getting set reviews and getting advice and things like that. So this guest today actually scheduled a Skype session and was willing to share it here on the podcast, hoping to help several of y'all out there get a little behind the scenes of the joke writing process and just take away the fear and maybe some of the self-doubt that we discuss in this episode. So if you find it helpful, please do share it with other comics out there. So many of you shared last week's Type 5 podcast where I was talking about how to finally create a consistent writing habit. So if you haven't listened to that one, go check it out. That one's a super helpful, just 5-minute, just quick episode to get you going. But if you're interested in scheduling your own Skype session with me or set review, there's a link in the show notes that just says book a session with Joel. It'll take you right to the schedule. Click a date and boom, you're writing new jokes. So let's hop into this one. Thank you so much, all of you, for taking the time you share here with us at Hot Breath. So we're just going to take up no less of your time and get right into today's episode. So without further ado, there's only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath. I should say this is a comic straight out of Charlotte. I know a lot of y'all out there are in Charlotte, and I appreciate all the support you've done. I actually posted in that 5-minute Type 5 that I was going to be offering some set reviews over the weekend for the first 10 people. So many people reached out. Thank you to all of those that reached out, and some were from Charlotte as well. So this comic, actually, she's been to the show. I headlined at Comedy Zone. She came to Columbia to check me headline out there. And now she's on Hot Breath. So without further ado, hot brethren and sistren, there's only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath.
I want to help you however
with Micah.
Thank you.
Ram.
Oh, so let's really jump into it. If you're ready to rock here, Micah.
Yeah, I got my books, whatever, notes ready.
Very nice. So I'm really open to with these Skype sessions, it can be more kind of what you're hoping to get out of it as well. So it's like, if you're wanting to work on new jokes, let's do it. If you're trying to organize a set, you know, if you have specific questions, whatever you want to do in this hour, you know, I'm kind of open to what you want to do to get the most out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have a bunch of stuff written down. I mean, a lot of stuff I've written down, I can probably spend an hour talking. Mm-hmm. But my problem is, I just can't find good punchlines. So okay. I feel like if I actually told all the stuff, people would just be sitting there in a story time and where's the funny stuff? So for me, it's kind of funny, being in a situation and experiencing all this stuff. But then it's trying to tell it to somebody and actually adding some punchlines and make it more funny. I feel like most of it is funny. If somebody was in the situation with me at the same time, they would probably be laughing. But if I have to tell it to somebody, and it might not be as funny, but I feel like it's good material that has potential if I add it if I rewrite it in a more funny way. And I don't know. Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing comedy, by the way?
Maybe half a year.
Okay. How often are you performing?
Well, I haven't done much recently because mm-hmm. I'm going to start the actual class tomorrow with the Comedy Zone.
Cool.
So I've just done a couple of open mics here and there. Not really as consistent as I'm hoping to, because I know I should go out more, and just even if my material is still not perfect, just go out and present it and see what feedback I can get. But it's just, I don't know. I just need that somebody actually giving me an extra push, like, okay, let's just go and do it.
Yeah, well, classes and doing things like this are a great accountability, like, measurement, you know, to kind of like, oh, if I'm doing a class, I have to show up every week and have something. So it really forces you to create that habit, you know? And you're definitely not alone in trying to think this has to be perfect before I get on stage. You know, if it's not, if it's not done, then I won't go perform. But it's really, it won't get done until you go perform. You know,
I know. I'm a good perfectionist. It's like, okay, this is not funny right now, and
I understand. And we can definitely even talk about the stories you have been working on and things you do want to get ready for the stage, and definitely start adding in some punchlines to them. But
yeah,
I want to
one thing I really like is like callbacks, and because I think they're like the most funny thing you can add, like having a bunch of callbacks. But it's like, then I like try to like organize my stories. Okay, what is related to another? Like, if I have a bunch of stories that are like gym related, I try to combine all those and try to make a set out of it. Or if it's a bunch of travel related things, just like have like one set about just me traveling, and then just like with stuff that kind of like happens or fits, or one thing that fits in another story, just kind of like make it into a callback. Mm-hmm. But I just have a hard time like creating good callbacks.
Yeah, it's what I would say, especially starting out, you being 6 months in, is like focus on shorter, just quicker jokes. Like a story, what I've learned through just developing over 10 years is like a story at the end of the day ends up being like a bunch of individual jokes that get pieced together like a story. But starting out, I was doing one-liners. I was just doing quick jokes. So really, I would recommend, if you have 5 minutes, instead of trying to do 5 minutes about travel and then doing another show that's 5 minutes about the gym, I would recommend making your set about all of those topics and just picking your favorite joke about each of them and just organizing a set that way. Because we all see these like professional storytelling comedians who are talking about one topic for 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And we think, oh, that's what I'll do. But that's someone who has honed the craft, who understands how to write something that long. But it all starts first by, how can I make a single joke about the gym funny? Instead of trying to make this whole huge story about the gym in 5 minutes, no, what is a 15, 20, 30-second joke about the gym that I can make funny? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That makes sense. I guess I'm just like trying to be way ahead of myself, because I like listen to all these like professional people, and I'm like, okay, I really like the style they use, and then it's like trying to.
Oh yeah, and it's, yeah. I mean, that's with podcasts especially. It is like you have the access to these professionals talking about comedy in such like a nonchalant way, but it really is like a skill that just takes time and consistency to really develop. On stage, like it's got to be developed on stage. So don't, I'm glad you have big ambitions and you do think big, but I would say just eat the elephant one bite at a time. So do you have any, are there any jokes about any of those topics? Because it looks like you said you have some stories about things, right?
Yes.
And have you performed any of these in the few shows you've done? Have you performed any of this stuff?
I've done a few of my early jokes, but the ones I've written recently, I have not.
Okay.
Actually, let me go back. Let me see which one I did like.
So you're writing a lot, I can hear.
Yeah, the book is full. It's just like,
that's great. That's great.
And I usually mean, I have like one story. I have like one story and I write like three pages about it, but I'm like, okay, it's kind of boring. I mean, in the moment it was funny, but then now when I read it, or somebody would read it, it's like, okay, not really funny.
But I mean, that's the part of comedy people don't get until they do it, is they're like, oh, that was funny at the water cooler, but it doesn't translate in front of a room of strangers, you know?
Yeah, it's, no.
Yeah, but that's a normal part of the process.
Well, one thing was, like, when I went, like travel, like the way I travel, like I had a couple, like, things on the airplane that I wrote down, like, I was kind of, like, saying, like, okay, if you're on a plane, it kind of feels like being in a hostage situation because you can't get away, so I figured I could make that, like, sound something funny, like ask the audience, like, hey, have you ever been in a hostage situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then start talking about being on a plane and then like having the kids on the plane and how they usually annoy you. And then last time I was on a plane, I was actually having a kid in front of me that was asleep, so I kind of like wanted to make a joke, like, how about I turn it around and I'm going to kick the kid every time it falls asleep.
Ha!
Get a kid's nerves. Instead of the kid getting a minor, I'm going to get in the kid's nerve because I couldn't sleep anyway. So I was trying to make it like a... I mean, usually it's like things that like I just picked in my mind. Like, it's not like I actually kicked the kid, but for comedy, I was going to like make it into a joke where it's like, okay, this time I'm going to turn it around. Instead of the kid annoying me, I'm going to annoy the kid and kick it in the back of its seat to make it feel like how it actually is being annoyed 8 hours at a time, being kicked in the seat.
Yeah, and it sounds like the premise is, and are you familiar with what a premise is? Premise of a joke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like the message of the joke. What is this joke about? Like every joke should be able to be boiled down into like a single sentence. So what I'm hearing from the joke so far is that it's, that being on an airplane is like being in a hostage situation. That seems to be the premise of it.
Yes.
So what we would want to do from there is to actually think about, well, what is a hostage situation? What happens in a typical hostage situation? Which may be, it could be there's torture, there's waterboarding. You're locked in a seat, I guess, like you would be on an airplane. Like, what was happening when that idea popped in your head that made you think this is like a hostage situation? What are the details of that scene?
Yeah, you're pretty much tied to your seat for 8 hours. You can't run away. It's like you just have to deal with people no matter what it is. Like, you can't just like, okay, I'll just leave and walk off. It's, you just have to deal. And then I was going to add maybe some funny scenarios that could happen, like, I don't know, somebody does something crazy, or I don't know, I was going to, like, add something funny, like, what could happen on the plane we can't run away from that also could be funny?
Yeah, I mean, the kid thing is funny, and I like it because it's personal to you. I always encourage people to, like, put the material through the filter of themselves, and, like, for me, for instance, like, I'm married, so I'll have jokes about marriage. Every married comedian has jokes about marriage. So how can I make my marriage jokes not just hack and something people have heard before? Well, I have to talk about my personal experience with being married and tell my personal stories with being married and not just some broad observation about being married. So for you, thinking that being on an airplane is like a hostage situation, I think you wanting to annoy the kid is like makes it uniquely you. And I think that is funny. I think, have you tried that on stage, by the way?
No, I haven't, because I just recently wrote it after my last trip when I was on the airplane. So yeah. I guess I could maybe, like, since I annoyed a kid in hostage situation, and then I guess annoying the kid, I guess since you said marriage jokes are unique to you, maybe I can like make unique jokes about like how I'm not really planning of having kids, and then just kind of like,
exactly,
my kind of theme. And then so, maybe, I don't know, hostage situation.
Yeah, I like, and maybe it's maybe it's evolving from a hostage situation to where like an airplane is like birth control or something. It makes you not want to have kids. And what would be that reason? Like, what is a kid doing? Kicking your chair, crying. Or maybe you become that annoying baby on the plane where you're kicking people's chairs and you're crying and screaming. But what actually, what I connected with even more is you saying you don't want to have kids. That sounds more interesting of a topic than us trying to figure out how an airplane is a hostage situation. I would want to hear more about that decision.
Why I decide it that way?
Or yeah, what is so clearly, I'm not even trying to get philosophically or whatever. It's more of like, kids that annoys you? It could be. And what makes you not want them?
It's not really the kids itself. It's more like, I don't really see them fitting into my schedule.
Ah.
Like the way I want to, like, I can never say never because things happen, people change, whatever. But
mistakes are made. People don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's more like, for me, it's more like, I mean, some people are like, they have kids now and then travel later when they're old. But for me, it's like, okay, right now, I'm like, I just enjoy just traveling, going on these trips, and just I could even imagine like living in a van and just travel the country and the world. And
wow,
I just don't see like kids fitting into that lifestyle. Where it's like, okay, you have to live in a certain place, or you couldn't go to school. I mean, you could homeschool it, but then you have to spend a lot of time on the kid yourself to school it, and then it's not enough time to focus on the other things.
You.
So, yeah.
It's also
it's not the kid itself that I like hate kids. It's more like they just don't. I just don't see them fitting into the lifestyle.
So maybe it's that you don't hate kids, you just love yourself.
Yeah, maybe it's just...
You love yourself too much to have kids.
I
don't know, I think that's funny. What do you think about how that's... it sounds like you... Right now you don't have time to have kids, is what I'm hearing you say. So it is like, what are you doing with your time right now, and how would a kid ruin that? You said traveling, anything else?
Yeah. I'm like traveling on a regular basis. Like in the last year, I left the country like almost like every other month and just like on road trips. The comedy stuff, it's like, okay, I have a full-time job. And then if I do like open mics and classes, I'm like usually never home. Like even my friends tell me like, oh, you're like never home, and they like have a hard time trying to like schedule something with me because I'm always somewhere traveling, doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's just.
Do you have friends trying to kids?
Yes.
Okay.
But then usually when I see, I mean, not all friends are like that. I mean, but I feel like 80% of those friends are like, okay, as soon as they have kids, they kind of like break up the contact with you, and then you can't really hang out with them that much anymore. And then like, oh no, I gotta stay home, I gotta find a babysitter, and then they just turn into a completely different person. And I just feel like I don't want to turn into that boring person that always has to stay home and like, no, I can't go, I have kids. And I mean, there are people that take their kids everywhere. Like you go to a brewery and they bring their kid and let it play, but most people are just like, no, we gotta find a babysitter and we don't want to pay for it, and they just kind of like turn into a homebody and just like, oh no, I can't.
But right, I love that. I don't want to turn into that boring person. I think that's hilarious.
Should I say that?
I think that's a funny line. The two lines that really stuck out to me so far were like, I don't see kids fitting into my schedule, and I don't want to turn into that boring person. And I'm also recording this, so I'll be sure to send you the audio too if you want to
Okay.
Yeah, definitely take notes and write down ideas for sure. But I'll also send this to you for future reference. Okay. So see, now we're getting into Micah now, and not just a random observation, but now we're getting into like who you are, what your opinion is, where you are in your life. So just in the past few minutes, we've already learned about that you travel a lot, which I think there's a lot that can be done within that world and that material and that idea. But also just you being a woman who's saying, I don't see kids fitting into my schedule, and like that your friends with kids are boring. I mean, that's a unique take on children that I haven't really heard before. So I think there's a lot more to that.
Okay.
So, do you have any pets, by the way?
I do. I have one right now.
What do you have?
A rat.
What? Are you being serious?
Yeah. I mean, I choose pets based on my schedule. Because it's just like kids. Like, it's just like with kids, you can't leave a dog alone overnight. Like, it doesn't walk itself. You have to like nonstop feed it and walk it. But with like smaller pets that you keep in cage, you can just like give enough food and water and just leave them overnight if you have to go somewhere, and next day they're fine. But so I pick like pets based off my schedule. Like, okay, what can I leave alone overnight? What is fine? What doesn't need my attention every 4 hours?
Oh my gosh. What's his name or her name?
Desdemona. Desdemona.
Desdemona.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's a name from a play from Shakespeare.
Oh, I feel so uncultured now that I didn't know that. So embarrassed.
Well, I don't know the play. I just know the name.
What play is it? Because that could be a funny detail. The rat's name is Desdemona. That is so funny.
Well,
Micah.
it's actually based of a song. So, well, the name appears in a song, and then the person that wrote the song, like, I guess, read all the plays about Shakespeare. So I just picked him on a song because I was looking for like a not for an unusual female name. So then the song came to my mind, and I was like, okay, I like that name.
Have you written about any of this before?
No. Well, my people always tell me, oh, just write about your pets because they do so much funny stuff. But I feel like rats are not usual pets where people usually were like, oh, and they're like, oh, that's disgusting. So I feel like, okay, people might not be interested in hearing jokes about a rat compared to like a dog or cat.
Oh, they would be more interested because of something they've never heard before. So that's what we're looking for here, is material that's going to be unique to you. And people are going to start being able to connect material to Micah, to you. And that's going to become, that's how I've been able to, like, I found the best way to connect with an audience is to bring out those unique quirks and those unique points of view and experiences that happened to me personally. That's when I found the audience really starts to respond. Like, the more personal you get on stage. And a lot of the times, I'm glad you said that you don't think someone would want to hear about that. A lot of the times, those are the topics that people do want to hear. The ones that your brain is telling you, ah, that's dumb. No one would really want to hear about that. But those are the ones they actually do want to hear about. So you can see the humor in this, right? You.
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious to me, like, the stuff she does. And then when I, like, take videos of stuff and post it, and people are like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. But then, you know, like I said, I feel like if I actually stood in front of an audience, they don't see rats as, like, the common pet. So they would be like, oh, why? And
no, so you post photos and videos of your pet as well?
Yeah, she does, like, she's... I mean, I never had normal pets. All my pets I ever have are crazy or some kind of...
Like what?
Well, she's like a hoarder rat. Like, anything she can carry, she would take into her cage. Like, she takes everything. She takes my nose, my pens, blankets. She tries to pull the clothes off me and try to drag me in her cage. Like, I find the weirdest stuff in her cage that she somehow manages to put in there. And then I, like, give her, like, these big cardboard boxes to just, like, use as houses. And then she, like, goes inside the box and just runs around in the room with the box. And all you see is just the box moving across in the room. And it's, like, trying to get it into her cage. And, yeah, and then people always, people are, like, somebody was, like, oh, just scatter all kinds of items on your floor and then small to big and see how many she will, like, be able to carry and get in her cage. So actually, like, I did it in a video that we had, like, all kinds of stuff on the floor, and she would, like, go and one by one she would pick it up and bring it in her cage, go back out, grab the next thing and pick it up. People always say, like, oh, she's a hoarder, and she's just...
Where did you get a rat, by the way?
She was a
rescue
pet. No, she was in a classroom. I don't know what kind of school it was. It might have been elementary school or something. But she was a classroom pet. And then the kids didn't want to take care of her anymore, and she was too much work. So my friend saw her being posted on Facebook, like somebody trying to find a home for her. And at that time, I already had rats before several times, so I was like, okay, I'll take this. So
I love that. So you've had.
My pets are spoiled. I mean, she's got her own bedroom, so my pets are spoiled.
She has her own bedroom?
Yes.
Dude, this is so funny. Please, what else? What else about this rat? She has her own bedroom. So this, what it's sounding like right now is that the rat is a child. You gave it a name. You're posting videos and photos of it as if it is a child. We all know the parent that'll just flood social media with photos of their children. So that you gave the rat a name. You pretty much adopted it from like an unworthy family. Like a family didn't want her, so you decided to adopt her. The family put her up for adoption, you know. So there's even room for a punchline there that it's like, I don't want a kid of my own, so I adopted a rat. And I know, don't judge, that's not her name. Her name's Damona, okay? And there could be a pause of like, so I adopted, a rat. So they're thinking maybe you're going to say, so I adopted a kid instead of just having one. But it's actually the fact that it's a rat and she has her own room. Like, I think there's a lot to play with that. The premise is like that you have a child that is a rat.
Okay. I guess I could just talk like, okay, so I recently adopted and then just talk about, oh, yeah, and she's a girl, that's her name, she's got her own bedroom, I got it all ready for her, and I guess at the end, I could just, I don't know, make a punchline saying, oh, it's a rat.
I think
should I mention earlier on?
Yeah, I think, because since the premise of the joke is that I have a child that's a rat, or like, my child is a rat, you want to get the premise out early so then you can start to reinforce that premise and start doing punchlines about that premise. It's kind of like how Chris Rock is probably the most obvious example where with his, he'll actually say a premise out loud. He'll almost be like, black and white people are different. And then he'll give a couple examples of how they're different. And then he'll say black and white people are different. And he'll give a couple more examples. So he's a good example of a comic who actually just lays out the premise, says it clearly, so the audience understands what the joke's about, and then he gives punchlines about it. So I think you, going into pretty much that, you don't want kids, you know, like them not fitting into your schedule is hilarious, and your friends that do have kids are boring people, you know, you love yourself too much to have kids. All that stuff is funny. And then I think jumping into the rat thing of like, you know, since I don't want to have kids of my own, I decided to take the adoption route. I adopted a rat or I don't know, the wording. That a lot of the wording is where stage time comes in terms of like how to actually execute like a setup punchline and knowing what actually works or not. But it would be something like, so I chose the adoption route, or I didn't want a kid of my own, so I adopted a rat. And then just like let a pause be in between. So I adopted pause a rat. And then you can go into it's not as bad as it seems, you know. Her name's Damona. She's great. She has her own room. I post videos of her all the time. I think now that we set up the premise that your child is a rat, now it's just thinking of, well, what do people do with their children that you do with your rat? What is the overlap there? So a good exercise for you to do, are you familiar with a Venn diagram?
No.
Okay, perfect. So a Venn diagram is like, it's like two separate ideas. Are you on your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Can you Google it? I think that's going to be the easiest way. And I'll try to explain it as we're looking at it. It's also in the book, because I know you got the comics playbook. It's also in that book as well. So thanks for holding it up. Look at you. So there's a Venn diagram. There's a Venn diagram in there as well.
So it's just like, is it V-I-N?
V-E-N-N.
V-E-N-N,
yeah. So
diagram. Okay. Oh yeah, now that I see the picture. Okay. I just didn't know that it's called. So it's like you have like all these topics and they all combine in the center.
Yeah, it's kind of like a good compare and contrast exercise. And I remember using these in school, but I use them for joke writing all the time now. So it's kind of like having the Venn diagram is actually two circles, but I'll actually do lists where I'll write, let's say your joke, for instance, I would say at the top of a page on the left-hand side, write rat. And then at the top of the page on the right-hand side, write children. And in the middle, I usually write like verses, or the middle column is all the same things. Like, what is the overlap of those two topics? So what you would want to do is you'd want to have three columns. The two outside columns are the topics. So it would be rat and children. And then the middle column is all the similarities between the two. So I would encourage you to go through the rat column and the child column and the middle column and just write down whatever ideas come to mind. So when you think about children, what comes to mind? When you think about rats and having pet rats, what comes to mind? And then the middle column, fill out all the different overlaps. So an overlap would be you take videos of you take video and photos of your rat like it is a child. It has its own bedroom. That's another overlap. It has a name. That's another overlap.
Insurance.
Say what?
I got insurance on here.
What? Oh, yeah. Insurance. Dude, that is so...
I can't claim her as a dependent. That's the only downside.
That's perfect. Yes. Yeah, write that down. That's hilarious. So, yeah, what else? What else is what else comes to mind? What's sparking in the brain over there? Insurance, dependence.
I don't have to change your diapers.
No diapers? Okay, yeah, that's good. Oh, you know what? Oh, I love where this is growing, because it could become you're telling people they should have rats instead of children. So it's like, hey, look, I mean, you know what? There's no diapers, there's no crying. No, there's no food you have to buy. The rat just eats cardboard. It's amazing. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love it. No,
I don't have to pay childcare.
Yeah, no childcare. It doesn't take up your time. That was another one, because you didn't want to have kids because of the time thing. So it doesn't take up your time.
It doesn't argue with me.
It doesn't talk back. Yeah, it doesn't say it hates me. That's so good. What else does a kid do? You have to drive it to soccer practice.
Okay. Well, I do have to take it to the vet, but I mean, kids have to go to the doctor.
You have to take it to the vet. Yeah, the kids go to the doctor.
But the soccer practice is good, I guess. I don't have to buy a soccer mom van.
Yeah, you don't have to buy a minivan. What else do parents have to do? You can leave it unsupervised. You don't have to cook for it. What do you feed your rat?
She's got her own dry food. Mm. Okay. I mean, she does eat veggies and fruits, and if I cook something, I give it to her just a little bit. I mean, she pretty much eats anything I eat. Like, if she knows I have food in my hand, she wants a bite.
Oh, so okay. So you'll feed her like a child almost, too, though. You have a bottle for her?
Yeah, well, it's attached to her cage, so.
Oh, okay. So maybe there's no breastfeeding. That's another no child labor. So like, you know, you didn't have to go through labor to have that destructive child labor. It's a lot cheaper. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, so you could see how valuable a Venn diagram is. I use it all the time when I find two topics that are seemingly unconnected, but when you actually put them through the Venn diagram, you start to see a lot of overlap and a lot of ways to kind of make connections that aren't there on the surface. Oh, I love that.
So should I combine or add in that airplane kind of joke, hostage situation, and then annoying the kid, or should there be a complete different kind of joke?
Yeah, I think we can scrap the airplane thing altogether, because now we're getting to you and we're getting to your life and your personal story. So I like to challenge myself and other comics to put their material through the filter of, like, what can I say that no one else can say? Like, what jokes can I say that someone couldn't steal because it wouldn't translate the same? So what we have found with you is that you don't want kids, which I think is a very unique angle, and also that you have a pet rat. I mean, that's, you've had several pet rats, correct, as well? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just like how just calming that was. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Yep. Come from a long line of rat parents. Long lineage. Yeah, so I think we can scrap the airplane material. I think we really found a new direction. So yeah, scrap the airplane and let's build more towards you and your unique story and your unique quirks, which having a pet rat named Desdemona is absolutely amazing. Yeah, are there any other questions so far? I don't want to like just keep sprinting out there. I don't want to make sure.
I mean, no, yeah, it's just, I guess, if I tell the story about rats, I guess, I mean, let's say I would do a 20-minute set, I probably wouldn't be talking just about the rat for 20 minutes, or...
No.
Make it, like, long...
No, and it's, think of this more as, like, a bit than a story. So, this may only, you may be talking about the rat for, like, a single minute. And don't even think about 20-minute sets. Like, 6 months in, focus on getting, like, a 5-minute set together. And, like, how can I pack as many punchlines into that set as possible? And a lot of comedy is in writing a lot and then trying it on stage and only keeping what works. So you may think you have 5 minutes on this rat bit, but then when you take it to the stage, you realize it's 60 seconds or it's 30 seconds. It ends up being just like one or two punchlines and then you move on. But it requires a lot of writing and brainstorming to then get to like the jokes worth keeping. Because I could say most of my writing sessions don't end in me finding some brilliant new angle or brilliant new bit that's going to take me to the next level. Most of my writing sessions are just the success that I showed up that day and I did the writing. And over time, it will just accumulate, oh, there's a tag there, there's a punchline there, there's a funny idea up there. But the more you write, the more chances you're giving yourself to find that next great joke. But it's a law of averages. Like a lot of comics I've interviewed say 1 out of 20 jokes they write, they keep. So you're, yeah, go ahead.
So I could use the whole airplane thing as its own bit.
Yeah, that can tie into like your travel stuff too.
Okay.
And what that could tie into is if you talking about you don't want kids and all that, and then talking about your pet rat, and then when you go into your travel stuff, you could be annoying the kid on the airplane. So yeah, like you're kicking the chair of the kid. Go ahead.
Or I could just talk about like how it's acceptable for a kid to nonstop scream. But if I was going to scream for 10 seconds, somebody would come and just tell me to just shut up. Like how, I guess I could make it maybe funny way. Like how is it acceptable for kids to be that annoying? But like compared to me, if I was going to scream or call a stewardess every 5 minutes, how I would be like punished or whatever for it. I don't know if that's.
No, I like that idea. I like the idea of, That could also feed into your resentment of children, is that they can get away with things that you never could. So yeah. It is like on an airplane, a kid's kicking my chair and I'm the bad guy. But, you know, if I kick a kid's chair, then, you know, I get kicked off the plane or something. You know, it's yeah, I think that's a funny premise that you resent kids because they can get away with more than you. And it's just exploring things kids do that you could never do. So it is, yeah, kicking the chair. I don't know. What were the other ones you said? Kids beg their way into getting what they want. Things like that.
Yeah, like kids screaming. And like if I was going to scream on a plane, it wouldn't be acceptable compared to a kid. It's just like, okay, it's a kid. It gets away with it.
Right. Yeah, I like that. Like,
I guess I could just say, like, imagine me screaming. Mm-hmm. Like if the flight attendant brings my food and it's not what I expected, imagine me crying like a little kid.
I like it. And then crying about the specific food. It could be like, oh, I hate broccoli. I want more biscotti cookies. So actually, yeah. a lot of humor is in detail. So it is like you crying about the food. Okay, what is the food and why are you crying about it? So yeah. So it's like, I couldn't cry with them bringing me the wrong food. And you could do an act out where it's like, oh, I hate broccoli. I want biscotti. Or what are those cookies called on Delta? Is it biscotti?
The Biscoff?
Biscoff.
The Biscoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, those are the
Yeah, so yeah, that could be where the food comes in. It's like, oh, I hate broccoli. I want double Biscoffs, or I want my Biscoffs. You can't do that as an adult, but as a kid, you would get all the Biscoffs you want.
I know.
Yeah.
And then maybe if I just have those two bits somehow in the plane or travel, I don't know, maybe I can like manage to have like a callback coming back from why it's better to have a rat, or just a funny fact about my rat, build it in as a callback.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way for you to, if the rat, it, okay, the rat is your emotional support animal, like how people are taking on like dogs onto planes, they're taking mini horses and birds onto planes. Will you take your rat onto the plane? And it could be you crying about wanting Biscoffs, and then she's like, My rat Demona loves them. And then she could be like, wait, you have a rat on the plane? And you're like, you pull out Demona. You're like, yeah, this is my emotional support animal. And it has like a little vest on it like those dogs do. Yeah, there's a way to call it back in there. I know that's not the right wording, but I think there is a way to call back that you actually end up having the rat on the plane and it's your emotional support animal. So I think there's room for that, yeah.
So going in that direction, I never know, like people always say, oh, don't make it too ridiculous to where people know, okay, it has never happened. Because my rat would never be on a plane wearing a little vest, but I guess I could make it sound like it. But it's like, okay, how far should I go making up stuff to where people still think it's funny, or they're like, okay, this is totally like made up or nonsense. I never know like how far I should go, because I listen to some comedians and I'm like, okay, this is made up for sure. I mean, it's funny and it's hilarious, mm-hmm. and I know it's made up, but it's not too ridiculous to where it's still funny.
That's a great question. And the biggest rule of thumb is you can get absurd as you want as long as it's grounded in reality. So it has to start from a place of truth before you can get absurd with it, or the audience won't believe you and they won't go there with you. But you talking about the fact that you have a pet rat named Demona that has her own room that you post videos of, like that you treat like your biggest prized possession, the audience is going to believe that you also took it onto the plane and that you got a little therapy animal vest for it and all that. They're totally going to believe that.
Okay.
If the rat has its own room, it probably has its own emotional support vest as well. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because it's absurd, but it's also funny because it's still like believable. Like it's like, well, she gave the rat its own room. She may actually take it on the plane with her, you know. But that is a good question. I think a lot of comics struggle with is like how absurd can they get? And it is like it's just got to be grounded in truth. And then from there you can kind of build whatever you want. You know, I have a joke about not paying off my loans until the government pays off theirs. And like, yeah. Student debt's over $1 trillion. You bet on the wrong horse, Sally. You know, you can't catch us all. But it's grounded in me talking about going to college and like talking about student loans and things like that. So it's I paid back my loans, but for the sake of the joke, it's like, no, I would never, not until the government pays theirs, but it's grounded in like a truth. So you can get absurd as you want, but you've got to base it in truth first.
Okay. So have like the build up before and then.
Yeah. I think you talking about like you not wanting kids and your pet rat first and then doing the airplane thing after it will help set that up.
Okay.
Because you having the rat on the plane is a callback within itself, just from a topic standpoint. So it'll get a laugh just the fact you have the rat on the plane.
Yeah.
And okay. Then you feed it Biscoffs. That's a good parent, by the way.
Oh, I could say it's my rat's favorite treat.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Biscoffs.
What do you think of that? What do you think of what we have so far here? How you feeling?
It's actually pretty good. From having something that where I was like, nobody wants to hear that, it actually turned into a pretty funny story.
Yeah, and you talked about you had multiple rats as well, right?
Yeah.
So you only have one right now?
Yes.
Okay, but you've had several rats in your past. I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot to explore there, Micah. That people want to hear. It's funny and it's unique to you, and I think people really want to hear it. What comes to mind to you now that we've gotten into that topic and you realize that it is actually funny and people do want to hear it, what are some other topics that come to mind where you seemingly may think no one cares or it doesn't matter, but now, hey, maybe I should start writing about something else about myself?
You mean outside the rat story?
Yeah, outside the rat story.
I mean, I guess I could just talk. Well, I do have a lot of, like, not a lot, but I do have, like, some stories about, like, the races I ran and then what I experienced during those races or afterwards, like, stuff that I didn't know existed. Like, I guess, I was just going to talk, like, about running the half marathon, and then at the end, I found out about a thing called the runner's toe, which I didn't know was a thing, and I learned about it afterwards. I don't know if you experienced it from running.
Mm-mm. But what is it?
Actually, well, they call it the runner's toe, and it actually, I felt like it was unique to me, but it's actually a real thing because I reached out to other runners, and they're like, oh, yeah, it happens. So it's pretty much, if you run longer distances, and then I guess if you don't tie your shoes the right way, I mean, I do have running shoes, but it can happen from the impact of on your toes from running a really long distance. On the impact, it will affect your toes and your nails. So one of my toenails just started turning black, and it just stayed like that. And then people say, like, oh, yeah, it happens. And then people commented, oh, yeah, I only have 7 of my original toenails because of running. And I figured maybe I can make that into a funny bit where I tell people, like, to stay away from running because of the things that could happen to you.
Whoa.
Like that.
No, I had never heard of that. Runner's toe. So what is runner's toe? I'm trying to think. So, yeah, how can we make that funny? Because I like, it's interesting. I like learning about you. Anytime I watch a comic, I'm always thinking about, what am I learning about them? You know, what material is, like, personal? So you liking to run is a fun fact about you. I'm just trying to think of what would be funny about runner's toe. I was trying to think of
what. Maybe just make a bit about not just running, but, like, the workouts and exercises I do uniquely to me besides running.
Yeah. So you exercise a lot.
Like, I do running, and then I do aerial, which pretty much messes up your body a lot too. Like, you get bruises, you get calluses on your hands. Maybe just make, like, a bit out of how sport is bad for you. Like, everybody always says, like, sport kills you. And then pretty much all activities that I do hurt my body in a way. Not in a bad way, but it's just, like, not a pleasant kind of pain. Like, you have bruises, you lose your toenails, you have your hands full of calluses. Just, like, from all the different things I do. Maybe.
Oh, so maybe, yeah, I was just thinking, like, they say running helps you lose weight, but they don't say where. And it's like, I lost all my toenails, like, or I lost a toenail, so I'm down 5 ounces. Like, soak it in, you know. So running's going great. I'm not actually familiar with what aerial is, though.
It's, you've probably seen it at, like, circuses or fairs. And it's like different types. One type is, like, where people, like, have, like, those fabric straps, and then they do acrobatic poses on them, like, climb them up.
Okay.
And then there's trapeze, which you've probably seen people on a trapeze doing all kinds of fun stuff. And then I do lira, which is pretty much a metal hula hoop hanging up in the air, and you just do all kinds of funny stuff on it in the air, which causes you a lot of bruises on your body from being, like, from all the impact of the metal ring on your body. Like I always come home, I have bruises all over, and people are like, oh, who beat you up this time? I'm like, oh, no, it's just, just eerie. And then you end up, after a year in now, you just end up with, like, permanent calluses on your hand. So I guess I can make it funny sounding like, oh yeah, I don't have the usual, like, soft, perfect women hands.
Yeah, I think there's something funny. I think there's something funny to exercise actually being bad for you. You know what I mean? So it could be the running hurts your toes and all, and you lose toenails, and the aerial you get bruised and all that, and calluses. So I think there's a funny angle to exercise actually being bad for you. But as I was just hearing you talk, and I can't believe I didn't ask this earlier, where exactly are you from?
Germany.
You're from Germany. Okay. And how did you get here?
I work for a German company over here. And it's the same German company that I worked for in Germany when I did my apprenticeship. And then after the apprenticeship, just transferred over here, applied for a job here, and got accepted. And then they helped me move over here. That was about 9 years ago.
Whoa. So that stands out to me as something super interesting and unique to you that I think I would want to hear more about. Like, I want to hear more about your story. So how you got here, I feel like you probably have some funny observations maybe about living in Germany versus living in America. So I think there's room for a Venn diagram there where you could compare and contrast the two cultures, the two living arrangements, you know, the food, the people, the music, whatever it is. But you comparing and contrasting Germany and America, I think is something that only Micah could do. And I think that you could find a lot of funny material in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there was people before that told me, like, oh, you should totally make jokes about you being German. And they always say, oh, there's so much material you could talk about. But then for me, it's like, okay, my mind just goes blank thinking about it. Like, okay, what's actually funny? I mean, I guess, yeah, I could write down, like you said, the comparison in a diagram, which might help me actually see stuff that I didn't think about before. Because just, like, thinking about it right now, I'm like, okay, nothing really funny comes to my mind right now. But I guess if I would make, like, a list.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would probably, like, help me, like, oh, I didn't even think about this before. But right on top of my head, I'm like, okay, I don't really know anything funny right now.
Yeah, and that's how a lot of my favorite jokes start, is they don't start out as funny, but they start out as interesting. And they become worth investigating. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't know what's funny about it yet. So that's when the writing comes in. You know, that's when the grunt work comes in of, you actually have to, you know, sit down and explore an idea and then take it and perform it on stage. So I think what could help, and what helps me get the ball rolling, the Venn diagram is a great tool, kind of like we did with the rats and kids, how at first there wasn't seemingly a connection. And then when we started talking about it, and using the Venn diagram practice, we found a bunch of different comparisons. And that was just in a few minutes. So imagine if you sat down and did it for an entire page. So do the same thing with, like, Germany and USA. Do a Venn diagram with that. But even on a more simple level, just to get the ball rolling, I would recommend just doing a free writing exercise about where you came from, how you ended up here, and how it's different here than in Germany. And free writing is literally just sitting down and just pretty much journaling. That's really what I look at free writing as, just free. There's no real direction. There's no necessary angle or joke I'm trying to make. I'm just showing up to the page and clocking in that day and writing. And a lot of the times my free writing is just sitting down and saying, oh, it's 8 a.m. I don't want to be writing right now, but I know I should. So here I am sitting here just writing with my dog staring at me like, when are you going to take me on a walk? And then, yeah, well, I wish my wife would take him on a walk, but she actually has a real job, unlike me. I'm a comedian and stay-at-home dog dad. So now the idea evolved from, in just a few lines, from me saying I have nothing to write about, I'm sitting here in the morning, to now I found a potential idea. just in free riding and having free direction. So that's an overview of free riding. But I think for you specifically, and talking about Germany and America, just free riding about how you got here, what your experience is here, and just kind of letting the ideas flow. But what's funny about this? And where's the punchline? First, just get it all out. Free write, yeah. Fill up a page, and then, or two pages, whatever momentum you feel. All right. I'm very low. I set a very low bar for my writing in that I'll set a timer and just write for 10 minutes and boom, I wrote that day. Other times it grows to 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. But if I hit that 10 minutes, I'm totally cool for the day. So even if you just write a page about your experience and then go back and read, it's always important when you free write, go back and read what you wrote, read that page, and then underline or circle anything that stands out to you that is interesting or that has the potential for a joke or that is funny. Go back. It could be a complete, it could be a sentence. It could be a short phrase. It could be a single word, but go back and circle the things that may be worth exploring more. So I think that's a great place to start for you in this kind of your experience here in America is just free write about it, really.
Okay.
Was that too much? Did I just word of the mouth vomit there?
No, it was good information. Because that's just one of my problems. It's just one of my problems when I start writing. I just wanted to be funny right at the beginning. I mean, I do write a lot of stuff where, like I said, it doesn't really seem funny yet. It's just written down experiences that I have to somehow make funny. But a lot of times I was like, okay, if I want to write it down, I want it to be funny right away.
Mm-hmm. That's the game of comedy. That's just the yeah. Not even the game. That's the process. Is it's first having the idea and then just writing about the idea, taking that idea to the stage, seeing what feedback you get from the audience, and then take it back to the page, rewrite it, re-explore it, keep building on it. But it really is that the symphony between writing off stage and then trying it on stage. That's where you start to find what's funny or not. But you're not alone in wanting to write and then it's all just magically funny, but it is a process that just requires time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and like you said, having the premise probably helps me a lot too, because mm-hmm. like looking at all the stuff I've written, it's like, okay, that's not actually a premise. Like, what am I actually trying to tell? So I guess if I start looking for that more, it will probably help me. Like, okay, what am I actually trying to say?
Yes.
Instead of just like telling a travel story with no plot, and it's like, okay, where is this going?
Exactly. Exactly. That's a great place to start on every joke. Or if a joke's not working, asking yourself, what is the premise of this joke? What am I even trying to say? Great place to start. Yes. Premise. Oh, that was, yeah. All right. So, whoa, we got a lot out right there, Micah. So yeah. Just to, and remember, I will send you the audio of this as well. And just to kind of review what our topics are, at least at the moment, is you want to start writing more about you have a rat that you treat like a child. That's a very fertile topic. And the airplane, how the whole funny thing about how kids can act one way, but then when you do it, you get looked at as a crazy person.
Yeah.
So that's a whole funny thing that ties into the kids' opinion as well. Which, oh yeah, also you not wanting kids because you love yourself too much. And you said, I don't see kids fitting into my schedule, which I think is just a hilarious line. So it's kind of like the set we're working on at the moment is you not wanting kids and things like that. But you having a rat, you adopted a rat, and then kids on airplanes, how you can't act like a child, and then also your story of coming here to America and how you got here.
Okay. So that's four topics already?
Yeah.
And I guess they are kind of related to one another.
Yeah, they all tie in. And also think about your set as like a first date. So in terms of, you want to be a little more introductory up first. So you may want to open up with stuff about where you're from, what, because people are going to hear your accent and then be like, oh, where is she from? How did she get here? They're already going to be asking those questions. So talking about your experience coming from Germany to America, opening up, and then getting into the stuff about not wanting kids and your pet rat and things like that, I think is a good flow for the set. But right now, if we were to say homework would be, you know, doing a Venn diagram about the rat and kids, like comparing contrasting rats and kids, and free writing about your experience coming from Germany to America. I think those are two very easily attainable kind of homework to follow up on next time. But I'm not trying to give you homework, Micah, but you know, comedy is work. I hate to bust anyone's bubble out there, but comedy is a job. And if you want it to be your job, you got to treat it like one.
So when you said at the beginning of the set, I should like introduce myself. So one question I have is like, if I keep going to the same place for an open mic, do I want to do the introduction thing every time? Because I feel like if the same people show up, eventually they will get tired of me telling the same story about how I moved here.
Well, no, they're not going to get tired of it if it's different. So if you're going up there and saying the same thing word for word every single week, people will get tired of hearing it. But if you're going up there and trying to build that story and you're trying new punchlines and you're trying new angles on it, people will still be interested. So as long as you keep trying new stuff, people will keep listening and want to learn more and really want to like become your fan because they see you actually actively working on your material. You're not one of those comics that does go up there and just regurgitate the same thing every week. But you're actually a comic who is putting in the work of trying new jokes and new tags every single week. So yeah, we can all get in our heads on that and turn that self kind of self-doubt. But as long as you're trying new jokes within that story, it's you're golden. People are still going to listen and care and be invested in you.
Okay. It's just one thing I experienced because I usually go to the same places for open mics, even if I just go listen. And then you kind of like get to know the people, and it's the same people usually that show up to talk. And then you kind of like know their jokes, and then it's like, okay, it's this joke again. And a lot of times I just sit down like, okay, I've heard this like 10 times, and you need to come up with something else. I just don't want people like I see people that sign up and they go up and like, okay, I already know which joke you're going to talk about. And then they just talk about the exact same joke that I heard. And I mean, they might have changed up a few words, but pretty much it's the same. And then I know I get tired of their jokes, and I just don't want to be that person that I get tired of, where it's like, okay, it's the same joke again. But like you said, if I just like keep changing up punchlines or change it up,
like, is it mainly comics at that show?
It's usually just people. I mean, sometimes it's people that just like, they just want to like try it just to do it. Some people are like, I guess, but more serious.
Is the audience more comedians, or is it like an actual audience at the show?
It's usually like a handful of people. Last time I went, it was about like maybe 10, 15 people that were just watching. Cool. And it was about like, I think they had like maybe 12, 15 people on the list. But yeah, where you get to the end of the list and then most people already left. So, and that open mic, the last one to perform, actually was there. And it was like two people left in the audience listening. And then he was just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to talk about some random stuff, not actually my set, because there's only two people left in the audience. So why even bother telling jokes? So it was kind of like, it was one of those places where, I guess, since so many people signed up, it got so late where some of the people in the audience were like, okay, it's getting late, and then just kind of left. So, but yeah, it was quite...
Yeah, don't get your head on what people are doing or thinking. Just focus on Micah and what you're in control of. And you're in control of getting on stage, but also writing to make sure you're prepared for that stage. So just keep writing and trying new punchlines to your material, and people will keep listening. They won't clock out on you like you have with, we all know the open micers who just do the same stuff every time. But it's a, yeah, comedy is like a puzzle. So each week you try to enter at least one new piece into that puzzle, and then it'll add up to a finished piece by the end of it, especially with you doing a class starting tomorrow. That's going to give you a deadline on having a set finished, you know, by a certain time when you do the graduation show. So that's going to be great for you in building writing momentum as well. But I think today we really, I hope, set you at least off in the right direction in terms of maybe topics to explore. Cause I even know you kind of had a couple loose ideas, but I hope you're leaving this session with like a confident grasp on, okay, maybe I have a more like honed in idea of what I want to talk about.
Yeah, it really helped me. This session really was very useful. I mean, yes. I got a bunch of notes and
good.
Yeah, it was actually, it's a lot of information that will actually help me, probably even in the class. Because I'm sure some people just join the class with like nothing. They haven't done anything, no notes, no nothing. So.
For sure. Yeah, I'll be interested to hear how that class goes too. I mean, just like the things y'all talk about and how it's helping your material and things. Because I've heard good things about that class. So I'll be interested to hear how you grow in there.
Yeah. I guess I'm taking it like for two reasons. The first is like, okay, get help in writing and being better prepared. And the other reason is like you're already involved in the Comedy Zone. You have the showcase at the end. So the people up there already know you. And if they feel like, okay, we really like her stuff, they already know your name. So I guess it's easier to like get into the whole community. And
For sure.
So that's like one of the reasons I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for people to hear this too. Because you said I can't post this on Hot Breath, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be helpful to a lot of comics out there. So thanks for being willing to do that and putting that on the record so you can't sue me in 5 years. So explore.
Added into my jokes.
But see, that's what's great about. That's why I do these Skype sessions, to help comics find material that no one can steal. You know what I mean? It's like, what material is unique to you, Micah? And that you being from Germany and living here is unique to you. You having a pet rat is unique to you. You not wanting kids because they don't fit your schedule. Like, all these things are unique to you. So someone could listen to this and be like, ooh, I'm going to take that joke. It wouldn't be funny because it's not coming from a real, authentic, true place. But for you, it is, and it's going to work. That's why I'm excited. Nice. So, I'll send you the audio recording of this, but feel free to follow up with any questions as well, or keep me posted on how the class is going too. You know, I always appreciate you. You've been so supportive just of the Joelaverse and also Hot Breathaverse. So, anything I can do to help you along the way, please, we have each other's info, so let's keep in touch.
I want to make sure to wear my shirt tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you good? Yeah, wear your shirt tomorrow. Oh, that'll be so perfect.
I want to spread the word.
Spreading the Hot Breath gospel out there. Oh, yeah. I appreciate you so much, Micah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so follow up with any questions. Explore your experience moving here from Germany and kind of compare and contrast that, and also exploring how your pet rat is your child. And I look forward to following up with you.
Right,
any questions?
No, not right now.
No? Cool. All right. Well, have a good day out there, Micah. I'll be posting this, actually. I'll post this tomorrow, actually. Let's get this out to the kids, you know. Let's let them know that we out here working, helping. So I'm excited. And please, people listening to this podcast, feel free to reach out to Micah as well, if you don't mind. I mean, if you want to start connecting with other comics, Micah. How do you pronounce your last name?
Rame.
Rame. Okay. Micah Rame. Micah. I said Micah right, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I don't know if I was saying it this whole time and you're like, oh, he's saying it wrong, but I don't want to. Okay. Micah Rame. So contact her on social media. If you're listening to this and you find this helpful, or you just, maybe you have a funny tag to one of her jokes or whatnot, you know, connect with us all in that. We have a secret Facebook group called the Hot Breath Comedy Network. So go on Facebook, search that. Micah's in there along with other listeners from around the world. So go do that. Go pick up the Trophy Husband comedy special as well, like Micah and several of you have already done. But a lot of you have been meaning to and you haven't done it yet. So go in the show notes, click on that link, order the special. Or also just reach out to me if you want to do a Skype session. I'm happy to help all you comics out there so we can all get better together. So message me if you're looking to develop material to get ready for a festival or just explore new joke ideas like I did today with Micah. So Micah, thank you so much for joining what I think will be the first of maybe many Hot Breath episodes we do together. I have a good feeling about you there, kiddo.
Thank you for doing this and all the helpful tips I got. It was really useful. I got a lot out of this one session.
Good, good. All right, well, have fun in your class tomorrow, and I'll see everyone online.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, Hot Breathiverse, real quick in this outro, if you found this episode helpful, reach out to Micah, let her know, share this with other comics. If you want to schedule your own Skype session or set review with me, if you've got a festival submission coming up or just want to find new punchlines, you can go into the show notes, click the link under Book a Session with Joel, or reach out to me on social media if you have any questions directly. But thank you so much for hanging out. I hope this was as helpful to you as it really was for Micah, and really, I always learn from these sessions as well, so I'd love to do one with you. So, all that being said, let's get out of here. Get grinding this week, kids. Thank you to my wife, of course, for... I thank her at the end of all of these. So, thank you, dear. And until next Monday, right here on... Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.